craft is also weightless. What the camera doesn't show is that to achieve zero gravity, the plane is accelerating rapidly in free fall, enough to counteract Earth's gravitational field. As relativity predicted, speed turns gravity into a changeable condition. If gravity as a force is mutable, what about other things we take for granted as fixed and reliable? Einstein made another crucial breakthrough regarding time. In place of absolute time, which was taken as a given prior to relativity, he discovered that time is affected by an observer's frame of reference and also by being close to a strong gravitational field. This is known as time dilation. The clocks on the International Space Station appear to an astronaut to be running perfectly normally, while in relationship to clocks on Earth, they are slightly fast. A traveler nearing the speed of light wouldn't notice that the clocks on his spacecraft are acting any differently, but to an observer on Earth, they would appear to be slowing down. Clocks positioned close to a strong gravitational field run slower as viewed from far away. Relativity shows us that there is no universal time. Clocks all over the universe cannot be synchronized. As an extreme example, a spaceship nearing a black hole would be affected by the black hole's immense gravitational pull. So much so that to an observer on Earth, the clocks on the spaceship would drastically slow down, actually taking an infinite time to cross the horizon of the black hole and be sucked inside. Meanwhile, for the crew falling into the black hole, time would run normally until in short order they would be crushed by its immense gravitational pull. Although these effects have been known for a century, something new has occurred in our time. Relativity actually matters in daily life. On Earth, clocks tick slower than in empty space, far away from gravity. So as clocks pull away from Earth's gravity, they speed up, or more correctly, they appear to, which means that the satellites used for GPS coordinates have faster clocks than the ones down here. When you ask the GPS device in your car to locate where you are, the answer would be off, if only by a little, unless the clocks on the GPS satellite were adjusted to match Earth time. A little would be enough to mistake your location by several blocks, a disastrous error for a mapping and guidance system. Einstein's visual images began his journey to the special theory of relativity. And for our purposes, that's critically important. He himself was amazed when his purely mental work turned out to match how nature really works. But everything the theory predicted, including black holes and the slowing of time in the presence of large gravitational forces, has come true. Einstein realized that time, space, matter, and energy were interchangeable. This single idea deposed the normal world of the five senses with its claim that nothing we see, hear, taste, touch, and smell is reliable. You can do your own visualization to prove this fact to yourself. See yourself sitting on a train moving down the tracks. You look out the window and notice that a second train is traveling beside you on a second parallel track. This second train isn't moving forward, however, so according to your eyes, it must be standing still. But your eyes are lying, since in reality, your train and the second train are moving at the same speed relative to the platform. Mentally, we all adjust to the lies our senses tell us. We adjust to the lie that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. As a fire truck whizzes past, its siren rises in pitch as it approaches and decreases in pitch as it races off into the distance. But mentally, we know that the siren sound hasn't changed. The rising and falling was a lie told by our ears. Each sense is equally unreliable. If you tell someone that you are about to stick their hand into a bucket of scalding water, but instead you plunge the hand into ice water, most people will cry out as if the water was hot. A mental expectation causes the sense of touch to deliver a false picture of reality. So the relationship between what you think and what you see works two ways. Your mind can misinterpret what you see, or your eyes can tell your mind a false story. We're reminded of an incident that happened to an acquaintance. When he came home from work, his wife told him that there was a huge spider in the bathtub and begged him to get rid of it. He marched upstairs and pulled the shower curtain back. From downstairs, his wife heard him shriek when he saw what he thought was the world's hugest spider. But in fact, it being April Fool's Day, she had put a live lobster in the bathtub. If the mind can fool the senses, and the senses can fool the mind, reality becomes suddenly less substantial. How can we rely on an external reality if it's affected by how we are moving or what gravitational field we are immersed in? Einstein did more, perhaps, than anyone else before the advent of quantum mechanics to contribute to the queasy feeling that nothing is as it seems. Take this quotation from him about time. "I have realized that the past and future are real illusions, that they exist in the present, which is what there is and all there is." It's hard to imagine a more radical statement, and Einstein himself was uncomfortable with how unreliable our acceptance of the everyday world actually is. After all, to accept that the past and the future are illusions would disrupt a world that runs on the assumption that the passage of time is totally real. Is everything relative? The year 2015 marked the 100th anniversary of Einstein's final version of relativity, known as the general theory of relativity. And yet the most radical implications of it haven't sunk in, not as it concerns what is real and what is illusion. We are all used to accepting relativity in our everyday life, though we don't use that label. When your toddler draws on the wall with crayons, throws food on the floor, or wets the bed, you are much more likely to be indulgent about his behavior than if your neighbor's toddler comes to your house and does the same things. We are also used to the minds fooling us about what our senses are detecting. Let's say you are going to a party and are told in advance that Mr. X, who will be there, is on trial for multiple burglaries in your area. At the party, Mr. X comes up to you and casually asks, "Where do you live?" The sounds arriving in your brain through the mechanics of hearing will produce a very different response than if someone else had asked the same question. Einstein could see in his mind's eye that objects would not appear to travel at the same speed to someone riding a beam of light and to someone standing on another moving object, since the speed of anything is measured by the time it takes to travel a certain distance. Suddenly, time and space had to be relative as well. Very soon, Einstein's chain of reasoning became complicated. It took 10 years, from 1905 to 1915, for him to consult mathematicians in order to find the correct formulation of his theory. In the end, the general theory of relativity was hailed as the greatest piece of science ever accomplished by a single mind. But it mustn't be lost that Einstein cracked the code of space, time, matter, energy, and gravity by using the experience of visual images. Does this prove that you are creating your own personal reality according to your own experiences? Of course. Every moment of the day, you relate to reality through all kinds of filters that are uniquely your own. A person you love is disliked by someone else. A color you find beautiful is ugly to another person. A job interview that sends you into an immediate stress response poses no threat to a job applicant who happens to be more self-confident. The real question isn't whether you are creating reality. All of us are. But how deeply your interventions go. Is there anything that is real out there, independent of us? Our answer is no. Everything known to be real, from a subatomic particle to billions of galaxies, from the Big Bang to the possible end of the universe, is key to observation and as such to human beings. If something is real beyond our experience, we'll never know it. Let's make clear that we aren't taking a position that is non-scientific or anti-science. While Einstein was seeing images in his mind's eye that would overturn time and space, other pioneers in quantum physics were dismantling everyday reality even more radically. Whereas the theories of relativity were mostly the product of one person, with some help from colleagues, quantum physics was developed collectively by many physicists in Europe. Solid objects were now seen as energy clouds. The atom was observed to be mostly empty space. If a proton were the size of a grain of sand sitting in the center of a domed football stadium, an electron would be orbiting it at the height of the ceiling. One by one, the quantum revolution that exploded in Einstein's lifetime took away every reliable bit of the world out there. Intellectually, the consequences were devastating. There's a famous aphorism uttered by astronomer and physicist Sir Arthur Eddington as he contemplated the peculiarities of the quantum domain. "Something unknown is doing we don't know what." These words are generally taken as a quip from a bygone era. Eddington, who offered some of the first proof that the theory of relativity actually matched reality, lived at a time before physics aimed its sights at a total explanation of the cosmos. A theory of everything, which some believe is just around the corner. But the quip, something Eddington had a knack for, should be taken seriously. Even a confident mind like Stephen Hawking's has more or less given up on a theory of everything, settling for a patchwork of smaller theories that will serve to explain how local aspects of reality work, not the whole. But can it really be true that reality is so mysterious that all of us have been mistaken about it since we were born? The quantum and the apple cart. Relativity was such a mind-bending theory that in the popular imagination, it seemed to go as far as physics could go. But this was far from the case. The story of what is real and what isn't took an uncomfortable turn, known as the quantum revolution. This didn't happen totally independently of Einstein's work. A huge amount of knowledge is contained in E equals mc squared, which applies to phenomena as diverse as black holes and splitting atoms. Yet in a sense, the most startling aspect of E equals mc squared is the equal sign. Equal means the same as, and in this case, energy is the same as matter, or mass is equivalent to energy. As far as the five senses are concerned, a sand dune, a eucalyptus tree, and a loaf of bread, matter, are totally unlike a bolt of lightning, a rainbow, and the magnetism that moves a compass needle, energy. But Einstein's formulation has been proved correct many times over. The same cannot be said of the trouble that ensued from it. By portraying nature as endlessly transformable, with matter possibly turning into energy, E equals mc squared, as in nuclear reactions, raised the question of how this behavior works. It was realized, to the discomfort of anyone who trusts in the everyday world of sand dunes, trees, and rainbows, that the building blocks of nature, bits of energy or quanta, sometimes behave like energy and sometimes like particles. The most common example is light. When it acts like energy, light behaves like waves. These waves can be divided into wavelengths, which is why rainbows and prisms prove that sun's white light is actually an amalgam of many separate colors, each with its own signature wavelength. But light, when behaving like matter, travels in particles, photons, that are discrete packets of energy. In Latin, the word for how much is quantum, and this was the name chosen by physicist Max Planck, who originated the quantum revolution in December 1900 and won the Nobel Prize in 1918. The term denotes the smallest amount or packet of energy. If E equals mc squared implies that nature could, in principle, be reduced to a simple equation, something Einstein believed until the end of his life, his breakthrough with relativity was headed for a collision with quantum theory, whose equations are not compatible with general relativity. This collision plagues physicists even today, and it caused a rupture in the story of what is real and what isn't. The difficulty doesn't sound earth-shaking on the surface. It's simply about big things versus small things. All the big things in the world, from Newton's apple to far-flung galaxies, behave as Einstein's general theory of relativity say they should. But the smallest things, the quanta or subatomic particles, obey a separate set of rules, which turn out to be quite bizarre, or spooky, to use Einstein's term. We'll get into the details of this spooky behavior soon. But for the moment, the big picture is what matters. By the late 1920s, everyone agreed that relativity and quantum theory were incredibly successful in their own right, and everyone also agreed that the two didn't mesh. The hot-button issue was gravity and its incredible non-linear, curved effects. Einstein had revolutionized gravity by the use of visual images to pose new answers. Besides the image of a body in freefall, mentioned earlier, here's another. Einstein imagined a passenger standing in an elevator as it accelerated upward in a building. The passenger feels himself growing heavier, but since his perspective is confined to the inside of the elevator, he has no way of knowing why he is getting heavier. From his perspective, the cause could be a change in gravity or the result of accelerated motion. Both explanations work. Therefore, Einstein reasoned, gravity doesn't have a privileged place as a force. Instead, it must be included in the constant transformation of nature. Only in this case, what's changing isn't matter into energy and back again. Gravity changes from a constant force to the curvature of space and time, which varies from place to place. Imagine that you are walking across a flat expanse of snow on a winter day. Suddenly, you slip and fall into a drainage ditch concealed under the snow. Quick as a wink, you slide down the curved side of the ditch. You would travel faster than on the flat snow, and your weight increases, as you discover when you came to a crashing bump at the bottom of the ditch. In the same way, space is curved around big objects like stars and planets. When light, traveling in a straight line, comes near such an object, Einstein theorized that gravity, through the curvature of space, would cause the light's path to bend. The proof of his prediction in 1919 was tremendously exciting. We'll discuss it in a later chapter. In one stroke, Einstein turned gravity from a force into a fact of space-time geometry. But on the quantum side of the enterprise, physicists still continue to refer to gravity as one of the four fundamental forces in nature. The other three